You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
I think that there is a conversation to be had on the Browns quarterbacks. I don't think it's just said and done. And we basically just push this thing back and we're like, oh, well, I mean, let's be realistic about it. The guys that they threw out there in 11 on 11s today are exactly how they view the quarterback room. I don't think it's that simple. Because the Browns went through and they made the decision. Joe Flacco got the first team reps to start things off. Kenny Pickett quickly followed. And then the rookies were, you know, interchanging. Dylan Gabriel, then Shador Sanders, pretty much with the third and fourth team reps. I really, if you made me be a 1,000% honest, and that's what I'm going to be, Browns didn't change anything. Hey, they didn't tell you anything today with the room that they put out there. I think this was as vanilla as you could possibly have made it. And you decided to do that because you started to split up the reps pretty evenly. Right? And you went through and you said, all right, well, let's put Joe Flacco at the front because he's the veteran with the most experience. Let's put Kenny behind him because he's the next vet. And then the two rookies, well, we'll basically just base it off of draft capital. And I think they went through and gave you the look at that. Now, I don't know what the alternative was. Like, coming into today, anything other than that result right there would have been semi-surprising. The only change that I think you could have looked at and been like, oh, maybe stunned based on value of quarterback and how good that player actually is. Maybe, but not in terms of anything else. Like, hey, if you're just going in there and throw him out there, the only thing could have been Kenny Pickett over Joe Flacco and rolling with him as your number one quarterback. But they basically went in and said, okay, based on seniority, we just ran the quarterback competition. We just showed you everything that's on the table that you could possibly pick from. You're like, well, all right then. I guess that didn't show me very much. That didn't really get me anywhere different here. Because now I just got guys rolling through reps. It comes back to what I was saying. When we're talking about this team and being sort of close to the vest and not being able to show you anything extra, that's going to stay as long as it possibly can. Until somebody goes through and wins the job and gives you a reason to upset that current order, I think as an organization, it's the proper order to take. Right? You brought Joe Flacco in here to be a starting quarterback. The reason that you went out and acquired him, because there's a chance that he can go through and actually start for your team. If you think they brought him in here just to be a mentor, or you thought they brought him in, you know, specifically for the fans, well, that might have been an element to it. At the heart of hearts, they brought in Joe Flacco because they believe that he could start games for the Cleveland Browns in the 2025 season. It's the only reason you ever bring that guy. There's no reason to fill up your room if it's just a plug an old guy and see if he can give you any wisdom leading up to it. No, they have to believe that there's actually a chance he goes through and wins the job. And if I'm starting on day one, the vanilla lineup is the lineup that you run out. All right, well, Joe's going to show us some stuff, but let's really be dialed into what does Kenny do? What does Dylan do? What does Shador do? How do they change this? How do they make us think differently? They're going to call it an even-slated open quarterback competition. Guys, in reality, what that would have looked like was every guy passing around the number one reps and getting a feel for the starting quarterback. What they actually mean is there's a depth chart, a quote-unquote depth chart that you take coming into the season, and it's just strictly based on how long have you been in the NFL? And it's why Dylan Gabriel starts above Shador Sanders, because you know how much he's been in the NFL? About one night longer, 12 hours longer, not probably even that. But you got about 12 hours in the NFL. Congratulations, you start above him. But in the early parts of this, I think this is going to function like a quarterback race that is not between four individuals, but instead closer to being between a 2-2. Of, all right, we're going to assume a lot of the first-team reps are going to go to these veterans, unless a rookie can prove us wrong. So let's see who wins the battle out between Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders. Let's see who actually takes the edge and decides that they want to run with that one and be the better of the two rookies to start things off. And then it's going to be a battle between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. Who goes through and proves to us, you should probably cut the other guy. That's what it's going to boil down to. Eventually, you're going to get into the offseason, and if the rookies are playing well enough, they're going to jump into that competition. But until you get there, all of those early reps, and as they probably should be, are going to go to the two veterans. They like Dylan Gabriel a lot, enough to draft him in the third round. I believe that they like Shador Sanders. But this isn't even an instance of the number one overall draft pick or a first round pick where you're like, well, maybe you should be giving him some early reps and allow him to because he's going to take over. They drafted two guys in the same way that they acquired two guys this offseason in. Well, you're not everybody's first choice, but maybe you can make it work. That's the overall thought process. That's what they have to be thinking. Maybe you can make it work. Maybe that's something that can pan out. But you didn't get brought in because I think you're the next best thing. It's because I think you have the potential to be the next best thing. And that's what they're going to operate under this entire offseason. Up until I think we get at least maybe halfway through, three quarters of the way through. But it's entirely going to be on the rookies to prove it. But you learned nothing today. You learned that the Browns are competent enough to play their veterans early on and then everybody else will follow. There has to be a pecking order. There has to be a level of climbing. I think that you just naturally give a veteran the benefit of the doubt to say you're going to be better than a guy who hasn't stepped a foot on an NFL field yet. Especially, you're not a first-round pick. You're not getting those reps. You got to go prove it. I mean, there's a video out there, which we're going to talk about later, but Dylan Gabriel gets batted down by Mason Graham, first-round draft pick. Dylan Gabriel wasn't running with the ones. Mason Graham, also, not running with the ones. You still have to earn it. It might be real practice. The veterans might be there. But it's not just because, hey, you're going to start this year that you're going to be on the field with the best players available right there in that position because we expect you to be there. It's go out, test yourself out against some lower competition, build some confidence for crying out loud, and let yourself get a little bit comfortable, and then we'll get into trying this thing out against higher-level talent and higher-level talent before you actually work your way up, probably eventually at this point in the season or a point this season, to getting to go against starting caliber defense. Or for Mason, Graham's point, a starting caliber offensive line. This is not some blindsided thing. The Browns know what they're doing. At least, I mean, in some degree, right? I mean, maybe not in the entire scope of things. They have actually probably proven quite the opposite, that they don't entirely know what they're doing from top to bottom. But in this case, they know what they're doing. And it's the only way to run this. And I think that if we're going to explode and blow up over what the quarterback competition looks like right now and what it is, then we're already taking this thing too far. and already going out and taking a look at this thing beyond belief of what it is. I do think it was interesting, though. If we're talking about the quarterbacks, that video that I just brought up, the Dylan Gabriel video, I saw people just absolutely digging in on social media. I know that Browns fans can be a little ruthless, but you just want to talk about a preconceived notion, not giving a guy a shot. Well, Dylan Gabriel and I think Kenny Pickett both kind of fall into that category to some degree, because the amount that I saw, Dylan Gabriel gets batted down by Mason Graham and then intercepted off of the tip. And my favorite one of them all was legitimately just a quote, and it was, we didn't see the height pop up on the film for Dylan Gabriel as a negative. It never appeared on the film. And then it's, Mason Graham batted down his pass and it got intercepted on day one. I mean, okay, maybe we're pushing it a little too far. All right, maybe we're jumping to conclusions a little bit. But, that's pure comedy. That's good stuff. Okay, I as much as anybody, would love to just toss out a short joke for Dylan Gabriel. But everybody's jumping on him. And it's the complete opposite. Right, I feel like everybody plays two sides of the coin when it comes to the Dylan Gabriel conversation, because it's like, oh, somebody jumps on Dylan Gabriel for being too short. And it's kind of like almost like a smaller, younger sibling, where it's like, we're going to pick on that guy. We're going to talk about how the Browns are probably stupid for drafting him in the third round. But as soon as anybody else goes out and they go, Dylan Gabriel, short, you're going to be like, okay, well, maybe take a step back. Maybe not, all right? He might be short, but he's our short guy. All right, we drafted him. At least give him a shot. Don't just rule him out, okay? It's not a big deal that he's short. The Browns say it didn't pop up, and then you're going to turn around and come on the very next video and be like, oh, that height didn't really appear, huh? Didn't really cause a problem. It truly is younger sibling thing. I don't think it's a fair evaluation to say that because he got one ball batted down at the line that it became a problem, but it's kind of funny. I mean, he did just try to throw it over Mason Graham. Mason Graham said, no, thank you. I'm just going to leap into the air. And Mason Graham, by the way, you're not the biggest guy either. It's not like you got blocked by some guy that's standing at 6'5". I mean, 6'3", 320. He's got a little bit of height on him. It's not like somebody was 6'5", 6'7", up there and just batting down the ball. Maybe like a small level of concern, but more of like a joking concern to it, to the point where I'm not going to worry about that right now because Dylan Gabriel could be starting for me. So I'm going to throw this one out as a complete laugh, a complete joke, but maybe a small amount of truth to it. What's the saying? Everybody always throws it out there that basically behind every joke, there's at least an ounce of truth. Maybe behind the short jokes for Dylan Gabriel, there's an ounce of truth there that maybe there's a little bit of fear attached to it too. But it's going to be something to follow along. I don't know how many bad Dylan Gabriel videos get put out throughout the course of this offseason, but if they continue to come and it's like, well, he just can't get the ball past the offensive line. It was at times a struggle for like Baker. Like, I feel like a lot of the times people knocked on Baker for getting the ball batted down when he's trying to go across the middle of the field and when he was in the pocket. And I think it's the same conversation a lot of times for other smaller quarterbacks when you have, like, even Bryce Young in there trying to throw pocket passes and they get batted down at the line. So, like, it's not an out-of-the-realm thing. You got to find windows or you have to get out and actually roll out, which is also not a strong suit of Dylan Gabriel. So I'm not throwing it away as a nothing, but definitely not saying it's everything either. It's currently in the category of maybe keep our eye out. Maybe just keep our eye out. If that keeps happening, well, clearly it's happening too much during me. Maybe the Browns, once it happens two or three times, should be like, all right, we're not going to have Dylan throw.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Against a D-tackle in his face anymore. All right, 216-474-0092 if you guys want to jump in. But coming back here in 5 minutes, we're going to talk to Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, his thoughts on the start of Browns OTAs and how everybody looked right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. All right, let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline of Cleveland.com. You know him well. It's Dan Lobby joining us here. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, we're having a good time. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm spending my entire day watching Browns quarterbacks throw both against the air and against guys that are in shorts and at least trying to defend the passes. So I feel like that's a good start.
Yeah, you know, it does kind of make you miss the Cavs playoffs all of a sudden. But, you know, we've got to watch something. We've got to keep ourselves busy.
Yeah, I mean, I would appreciate if there was real competition going. I mean, there is a real competition. But truthfully, like a game competition going on. But I take what I can get. But as we go through, Dan, and we're looking at this thing, OTAs, voluntary OTAs starting today. In the grand scheme of the offseason, before we go through and even talk about evaluations or anything else, about what this next couple of weeks are going to look like and going through the Browns offseason, what is like the importance level of these exact practices that we're going through right now?
You know, I don't think we should like overstate the importance of them because really it's training camp. When training camp starts, that's when like the real action gets going. And that's really when these competitions start. So yes, these guys are competing now, but nobody's winning this quarterback battle or any other battle in the spring. And I don't even know how much guys are going to separate from each other in the spring more than they already might be. So I think a lot of this is just install. It's kind of getting to know your teammates. It's getting to know the system. It is competing because every rep does matter and every rep on film does matter. But I think the real action starts in training camp. So, you know, what we're kind of watching is kind of ramping up to that. And then they're all going to take a month off, however long it is, 6 weeks off, kind of digest what happened, try and get their minds right. And then when you get back at the end of July, it's on. That's when the competition really heats up.
So I know that a big thing today was Myles Garrett deciding to not show up for the voluntary OTAs. Is there any world where fans should be upset or care in any fact that Myles wasn't there?
Yeah, I guess I could understand why people would be upset if he's not there. I think there's maybe an expectation that you signed this big contract. You know, can you show up and be a part of this? But honestly, I think people should feel fine about what Myles Garrett is going to do. Like, we know Myles Garrett is going to be there when it matters. We know he's going to show up. We know he's going to get after the quarterback. And we know he's going to do the things he has to do. And he'll be there in a couple weeks when it's mandatory minicamp. So he'll get some work in with these guys. Myles, I think, feels good about what he's doing. I get it if fans are upset, if fans are saying we want to see some leadership. And even me, just a little bit, right? I'm kind of like, there's times when I want to see this team kind of look at this spring program and say, you know, we really haven't accomplished anything. Let's all come in together. Let's be focused, be all in. But at the end of the day, like, it doesn't really matter. There's teams that have won the Super Bowl that haven't had full participation in the offseason program, and there's other teams that have had it and haven't won the Super Bowl. So I get it. I think it's one of those things we kind of keep ourselves busy with, though, in the spring.
We always talk about, especially this offseason, about Miles becoming a better leader, because it was something he pointed to himself in the press conference. It's something that we've had Jimmy Haslam point to this offseason as well. Would showing up in this moment take a serious step there, not just in the eyes of fans and the media, but also to the team, coaches, the organization, and the players alongside of him? Or do you think that's maybe a little overstated?
I think a lot of it is public perception, honestly. A lot of it is, Miles is there, now we can talk about him kind of leading the way. And I did, I don't want to downplay that, because I do think it's impressive that a guy like Denzel Ward does take it seriously and does want to show up and be there and help these young guys in the offseason and be a part of this thing. But just because a guy like Denzel values it, a guy like Jerry Jeudy values it, it doesn't mean that Myles Garrett kind of doing his own thing to get ready to play football is the polar opposite. Miles has always been kind of a quiet leader, and he's never going to be that outspoken guy. He's not going to be the guy that every game is going to be giving the speech in the middle of the huddle before the game. But one of the things he does is he works a lot with the young guys. I mean, I've sat there in training camp and watched him work with Isaiah McGuire and Alex Wright, and I think he's grown as a leader in a lot of ways. But I also think there's just a certain way that Miles leads, and it maybe isn't this traditional, Ray Lewis style of leadership. But when Miles is here, he's gotten much better about being a leader, and I think in a lot of ways he's still growing too.
So, Dan, if we're talking about improvement, then if it's not going to be from showing up at voluntary OTAs, but somewhere later down the line, where is it that you think fans are able to see that leadership sort of step in? What is their first sign of actually getting able to see that?
I think a lot of it is, I don't know how much of it is outward, honestly, just because of Miles' style. I think a lot of it really is, how does he handle himself behind the scenes? How does he handle himself with the young guys and kind of guiding them along? Because they do have a lot of young edge rushers who are kind of trying to compete for that spot opposite him. They've got some young defensive tackles that, I think he can help out as we get into training camp and he gets an opportunity to work with those guys. I honestly think a lot of it is just sort of behind the scenes stuff. And then you kind of have to ask yourself, if Myles Garrett shows up and gets double digit sacks and is a contender for defensive player of the year and creates a ton of pressure, are you really that upset if he's not here in April, May, and June? I think the production on the field is ultimately what matters.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Dan, last one, and I promise we'll talk about what actually happened on the field today. But Kevin consistently emphasizing the fact today that it's voluntary, right? The guys don't have to show up. They have to be. It's a voluntary participation. They're not required to. Do you think, obviously, that's the right response, I think, coming from a coach, just because you're not going to go throw anybody under the bus at the end of May feels like a really bad time to start doing that. But hey, do you think that secretly gets under a coach's skin, not having some of his players there and guys that he considers key contributors? Or do you think that's just no sweat off his back at all?
I think coaches always love to coach, and I think the more guys they can get there, the better. And look, ultimately, you want to coach the guys that you know you're going to have out there on the field on Sunday. So I don't know if it gets under Kevin's skin or annoys him. I'm sure if it were up to him, he'd love to have everybody there. But, he keeps saying over and over again, it is that voluntary program because that's what it is. It's collectively bargained. You can show up if you want. I mean, kind of along those lines, though, what I thought was interesting is you did see a good number of guys there that are competing. A guy like Cedric Tillman, right? Yeah, it's a voluntary program, but is it voluntary for a guy like that? Probably not, because he's got to be there getting those reps in and getting that work in. For all four of these quarterbacks, even a guy like Joe Flacco, he's got to show up and he's got to compete and he's got to take these reps. So honestly, I think the fact that there are so many guys there who are competing for opportunities and competing for jobs, when after a few, the last few years, it's kind of been everybody's been set, everybody's sort of had their role. So it never felt as important. I think that's actually a good sign for this team that we're in for a really competitive training camp.
I am. I'm sure hoping so. Give me something. No, no more. Plenty of walkthroughs, but not entirely walkthroughs. I want to see something. As we get into what's actually on the field, a lot highlighted today on social media about what guy obviously went out there first in terms of the quarterbacks. Joe Flacco takes the first 11 on 11. Then it's Kenny. Do you think there was anything from the Browns today that showed you their thought process on where they are, on what quarterback they value over another?
I think it was just what we thought it would be. You know, we've talked about it on this show even, that, you know, when you look at sort of how they built this room and the idea that they went out and were aggressive in acquiring Kenny Pickett, that they used a third-round pick on Dylan Gabriel, that Joe Flacco, obviously a guy they know, they signed him in April to a you know, not a huge contract, obviously, a smaller contract, but they waited to bring him in. And then, of course, Shador, sort of an afterthought in the draft. There was an opportunity and they took it. I think it looked exactly how we thought it was going to look. Now Kevin says over and over again, the order doesn't matter. You guys, you know, he was almost making fun of us today for asking him so many questions about the order. But I mean, I'm sorry, Kevin. I think the order does matter, and these reps that like Kenny Pickett is getting with Jerry Jeudy are really important. So are the reps that Joe Flacco is getting with him when Dylan Gabriel gets tossed in there with the second team, but Shador doesn't. I think those things do matter. Maybe they don't matter quite as much as we're talking about them now because, like, this is the only thing we have to talk about, but I do think it matters. So I wasn't surprised by anything, but I think it's more important than Kevin is kind of letting on.
I want to highlight the Shador thing and him not getting as much of the run today because that was something that was highlighted. Was it for a lack of performance? Do you think there's any reason behind that we could actually see on the field why that would be, or do you think that it basically boils down to there's a lot of quarterbacks in the room and it's really hard to get everybody those reps?
It's the boring answer, and I think it's the latter. I think it is. There's only so many reps to be had, and Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett are going to get a bunch with the vets, and Dylan Gabriel is going to be in there because, again, he was a third-round pick, a guy they really valued, and when you're the fourth quarterback, you just don't get that many reps. Now, I think we will see Shador get some more of, you know, those third team. Maybe they'll move him up, get some second team, you know, as we go. And, of course, there's a lot of days that we're not out there, so we don't see everything. But I just think it's the reality of a quarterback competition. You only have so many of these practice reps. And right now the pecking order just has Shador as the fourth guy. And any time I've been at a training camp or an off-season program, the fourth guy doesn't get as many reps as the other guys. There just aren't enough to go around. So I think it'll happen eventually, but again, just not surprised that it didn't happen today.
Dan Lobby with us on the hotline. If we look at the two rookies then, and the limited reps that we got out of Shador and some of what we got out of Dylan Gabriel, what would sort of be your assessment? I know it's guys thrown in shorts at the end of the day, but how did each guy look for you, Dan?
I thought they looked okay. I mean, there wasn't a lot notable, honestly, watching them throw. I know the one period that I watched really closely, it was a lot of short stuff. You know, they both seem accurate. I do still worry a little bit about Dylan Gabriel's height. I haven't watched Dylan Gabriel and been blown away, but, you know, I'm certainly going to give him a chance, and I want to see what he can do if he does get some opportunities behind that top offensive line and, you know, with those first-team weapons. But, you know, I just thought today for them was a pretty quiet day, and I don't think either guy necessarily – I didn't see anything that blew me away. You know, going back to rookie minicamp, I was fine with both of them. I thought they both did well. I thought Shador played a little bit better that weekend, not significantly, but a little bit better. I think today it was probably a little more even, but it was tough to tell.
I think it's funny. One of the questions I had down for you, Dan, was the Dylan Gabriel height question, because the video comes out of him being batted down by Mason Graham and ended up being intercepted. Hey, do you think that's actually something, or is that just going to be something we all latch on to on day one of, like, well, of course the 5'11 quarterback is the guy that gets batted down?
It's got to be a question. I mean, it's an outlier. You know, you don't see a lot of quarterbacks have success at that height, especially if they're mostly pocket passers. Now, Dylan's got some mobility, right? But he's not like Kyler Murray running around out there. So luckily he's taller than Kyler Murray, but it's a topic until he proves it's not. And he probably gets tired of hearing about it. And I'm sure the Browns will get tired of hearing about it. And people who are Dylan Gabriel fans from Oregon or any of the other 20 colleges he attended are probably tired of hearing about it. But it's a story until it's not a story. And when he gets batted down, even if, you know, look, like I tweeted it out, and it's more of a tweet about, oh, look, Mason Graham made a play. But of course, there's another side to that play, and people are going to point to Dillon Gabriel's height, and it's something he's got to overcome, and he's got to prove that the Browns are right betting on an outlier at a guy that's under 6 feet tall, you know, being able to succeed from the pocket in the NFL.
So with all this under consideration, and we're looking at the reps, and we've known that it's been four guys in there, and it's going to be hard to get them as many reps day in and day out, and there's only so many to go around. How much do you think that limits, and now seeing it for a day in full action, a rookie really having a chance to take the starting job in week one?
That's one of the problems the Browns are going to face this year, I think. You know, you drafted both of these guys, and in a perfect world, one of these two guys, and it honestly doesn't matter who, one of these two guys shows you, hey, I can be a franchise quarterback. You can win a bunch of football games with me. And then you get to next year's draft, and you can draft like a wide receiver and a pass rusher with those first-round picks. I think the reality as we go through, and I think today just reinforces it, I don't know if either of these guys are going to have enough opportunity to prove, like beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they can be that guy, to prove that just emphatically that, yes, I am your future at quarterback. And that's why I think we're going to be right back here again in a year. You know, even if you like something you saw out of the guy, or even if you know, a guy showed promise, for me, to avoid drafting a quarterback next year high in the draft, you just have to emphatically know this is the guy. And I think today was a little bit of a reminder. And look, we are a long ways away. This could all change dramatically in a month. This could change dramatically in 2 months. But today sort of reinforces that it is an uphill climb for both of these guys.
Outside of the rookies, Dan, we look at elsewhere, and I thought the conversation with Joe Flacco was really interesting because obviously the question around him is with multiple rookies and even a guy like Kenny Pickett in there who's only been in the league for 3 years, sort of that idea of being a mentor. And he very much gave some pushback to that. I thought personally, almost like to some degree, maybe a little irritated, and I could understand why. Him not wanting to be a mentor, is that the correct mentality for a guy like Joe?
I actually like the way Joe answers that question. He kind of answers it as honestly as you could. He basically says, like, there's no way I can answer this question where it's a win. You know, he can say that, of course I'm going to mentor and I'm going to help this guy along. And then people are going to question, you know, well, can he still be a starting quarterback? And then the other side is he could say, well, no, I don't want to mentor because I want to be the starter. I want to be the number one guy. And people are going to push back on that. I think Joe looks at it as everything just happens kind of organically. Like, he's been in the game. These guys are going to be sitting around watching film. They're going to be, I was watching him stand on the practice field talking today, and he's got a lot of knowledge to pass on. And it's not up to him necessarily to grab a rookie by the shoulder pads and say, hey, buddy, listen, I want to teach you this. It's kind of on those young guys to say, hey, this guy's been around. He's won a Super Bowl MVP. He's survived in this league for a long time. I want to learn from him. And when he says something, I'm going to listen. So I actually kind of like Joe's perspective on it. It's a pretty honest perspective on the whole thing.
I think that's a really good way to look at it. Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com with us on the hotline. Dan, I'll get you out of here. It's sort of talking about one final point and one that I thought was interesting. I don't know how many other people found it as interesting, but DeJuan Jones out there after coming off of another injury, and he was running at left tackle, running with the ones. What was sort of the early look at him and how he was moving coming off of that injury? And I know for a lot of people, the fear of how did he look just physically?
You know, I mean, after last year, when he just was not, whether it was because of the surgery, whatever it was, he was just never able to get his body where it needed to be able to hold up at either tackle position, honestly. And this year, you know, I had some opportunities to see him when we were just out there for press conferences. He'd be in the building and you'd see him, you know, walk out of the building to go to his car or whatever. And you could tell he looked much better than he did this time a year ago. And today you saw the same thing. He looked leaner. He looked better. He looks like a guy that's going to be in shape and ready, which is good because he's one of those guys that the runway is clear for him. If he wants that left tackle job, it is his to take. And I think he's ready to grasp it. He's wanted to play that left tackle position for a long time. I know he wants to sort of be the, you know, the next Joe Thomas here. Obviously it's a high bar, a first ballot Hall of Famer, but if he's in shape and he can make it through the season, and those are two big questions with him, then that would answer a lot of questions for the Browns going into next offseason when they're still going to have a lot of needs to fill.
Dan, always appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you more as some more of the quarterback competition hopefully plays out in a way that, well, we know more than we don't.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Dan. Dan Lobby of Cleveland.com with us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what Dan had to say, and I don't think anybody should be surprised by the way that Joe Flacco answered. I thought it was really interesting. Honestly, the highlight that I feel like the way a lot of people talk about this quarterback competition is that it's this flat four-man competition and the best man's going to win. I like Dan's approach to it, though. And the fact that we're looking at four quarterbacks and, hey, guys, this is no easy task, right? This is no easy situation that we're running into. And in a lot of ways, it almost feels, I don't want to say unfair, because, I mean, welcome to the world of the NFL. The NFL is unfair, right? Like, you got to go out there and battle, and at times, your career is almost ended before it even gets started for a lot of these guys. But
you're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
When you go through and look, like Shador not even being able to run with the second team pretty much today, while Dylan Gabriel does. I don't even think that's necessarily an indication fully on Shador at this point. And I'm sure that's going to change, right? We're on day one of being able to see this thing. But it does feel like, okay, well, if Dylan's getting those reps and Shador's not, and those guys are supposedly coming in on even footing, it's almost the Browns kind of shooting themselves in the foot to some degree. Like, all right, well, you had guys you wanted to give a chance, guys that you wanted to actually see go out there and participate with the highest competition. All right, well, now Shador's in a way being left out of some part of that competition, getting a little bit less work than some of these other guys. And that's part of having the four quarterbacks in the room. It's part of that. And the reps are going to be limited. It's going to be hard to get a real feel on what these guys are going to be able to do. And I think to Dan's point, that just doesn't end after like this week, next week. That's an entire season thing. If you're going to make a rookie go out there and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's the guy that you want to go with next year, I don't know that there's any way to truly prove that. You might get an idea. You might see a glimpse. Well, even if Shador were to play, and Shador were to play five good games, is that beyond a shadow of a doubt? Do you base your franchise's future where you have two first-round picks and what's likely to be two pretty solid first-round picks, if we had to take a guess, and pass up on a quarterback class off of five games of Shador Sanders or five games of Dylan Gabriel or Kenny Pickett? That is a tall task and a tough thing to demand. And I think that only gets exemplified and sort of even more blown up and into our face when you see things like OTAs today and you see just how difficult it already is for them to manage that difficulty, to manage all of the different sort of routes they have to go down and the hoops they have to jump through to try to get guys opportunity to throw the ball. Right? They're running two sessions of 7-on-7, which is, I mean, not out of the ordinary, but you're having to run two sessions of 7-on-7 to even get a potential look at some of these quarterbacks. And even then, it's like, all right, well, we have half of our staff evaluating this guy, the other half evaluating that guy. All right, well, whatever one Kevin's watching is going to be a little bit more impactful. And I'm sure it's on tape. I'm sure you can go back and watch. But you're getting a little bit of advantage having your eyes on him and not having him need to watch both at the exact same time and split up his attention span. That's sort of difficult. Talking to Dan, I thought it was interesting the way that Joe Flacco sort of responded today. Dan was a big fan of it. I thought that Joe, I don't know that he got testy with the media, but almost like to some degree annoyed and maybe rightfully so, constantly being asked, well, Joe, I mean, are you going to be a mentor? I want to play some of those back for you. Joe asked one time about being a mentor and given his response.
If I say I don't want to be a mentor, I look bad. If I say I do want to be a mentor, then I look like an idiot that doesn't care about being good and playing ball. So it's one of those questions that no matter what I say, you guys write what you want to write about it. And there's a lot of questions like that. That's why you end up having to try to avoid them. I tend to try to be honest. And I've said I'm not a mentor. I play football. And in a quarterback room, there's a lot of times already, there's been already a ton of times where there's learning experiences and I have a lot of experience and I can talk on things and hopefully they listen. But it's not necessarily like my job to like make sure they listen to me. And, you know, hey, like hopefully you have a really good relationship with the guys that are in the room and you naturally want to do that.
And I love the approach that Joe sort of took on this. And I'm alongside Dan because truthfully, Joe's right. What do you say? Right, I mean, he goes through and drops the, well, I am a mentor. Well, okay, now, like Joe said, you don't want to play football. And if you're not, well, now you're basically putting your own success above the team's. And now it looks bad that you don't want to try to mentor young quarterbacks. And this has been a thing with Joe dating back to Lamar. And when they had those conversations, Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco, yes, like he already didn't want to be a mentor. It was still in some respect his job, even though Lamar was up and coming and eventually going to take that job. It was Joe's job at the time. It's not his job to go make somebody better and to be able to steal the job that he currently has. But it's the right mentality. It's like, I'll be a mentor if they decide to make me one. Right? And not the team, not the organization, but if the players, the young players in this room decide to make me their mentor, I'm going to answer their questions. I'm going to provide them with the tools when it's asked to give my input and give my experience, but it's on them. They either listen or they don't, and it's not my job to get these guys to where they need to be. You want to talk about development? Well, that's going to be on guys like Kevin Stefanski. That's going to be on the coaching staff and the quarterback room to be able to actually go through and find your quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, head coach, to be able to do that job. That's not on Joe. And then, of course, naturally, with a 40-year-old quarterback in the room, that question came up again. And Joe once again responded in kind.
You're acting like I wouldn't want to be a mentor. It's not really about that. It's just not the main focus. I see myself as a guy that can play in this league. So if your main focus was just like, hey, bud, I'm going to get you ready, you're just not taking care of business. The best way to be a mentor, honestly, is like show people how you go to work, you know? And like I said, hope that they pick up on that stuff, but not necessarily force them to pick up on the things that you do.
Okay, maybe, like, again, I think it's a good answer. I like it. Maybe a little bit testy. I feel like by the second time he was, he started that thing off just, you're making it sound like this, but in reality, it's just, I like the idea where he goes, you're going to write what you want to write, right? You're going to make whatever story you want out of whatever it is that I say. I think it honestly wraps full circle to our conversation to start the show, following the Myles Garrett situation and being a leader on the field and not as much with your voice. The best way to be a mentor is to lead by example. Show them what it means to be a pro. And I think that was very clear. And Joe's handling that situation in the right way. There's just only so much you can do. Boom, I'm right though, right? He's maybe a little testy, maybe a little testier than me, maybe a little upset by like the second, third time that question's rolled around today.
He sounds annoyed without a doubt. But at the same time, like, I love what he had to say. And it almost feels like at that point, like, yeah, we get it. He kind of like the attitude feels warranted. Because it's just like, how many different ways are you going to try to phrase this question? Like, he was as blunt and straightforward as could be. And it's like, what point don't you get about that?
Yeah, it's just like, and I get, you have to ask those questions to some degree as the media, but from the player perspective, it's like, guys, I'm trying to go for the job. You call me a mentor one more time, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, and part of that is like the quote-unquote art form of journalism is like, you phrase a question a little differently, you might get something a little different out of the player, and it's like, you just keep working them and molding them like clay, but no, I mean, at this point, like, I think he's made very clear and established his stance on this thing. He is not a quote-unquote mentor as, like, by definition you would expect him to be, but I think for all intents and purposes, like, he's doing everything that could be asked of him from a mentorship standpoint. Like, he's willing to be helpful. He is a team player. He's working with these guys, and the door is open for them whenever they decide to open it. So I don't think that he's doing anything wrong in this regard, and frankly, he has... The only thing he should be upset about is the fact that the media is going to keep pestering him about it.
Yeah, and I think he'll continue to probably be pretty annoyed because I don't think those questions are going to stop coming.
Sometimes I feel like the media will like nag with the same questions over and over in hopes that it's like maybe the players are getting this point as if like they weren't already aware of it.
Yeah, it's such a weird dynamic to have to go through and like play the back and forth in the tennis battle of it. But I think you're right. I think Joe's made his stance very clear that, like, hey, listen, basically, and this isn't a knock, but I'm not Josh McCown, okay? Josh McCown's mentored a lot of quarterbacks in the time that he was playing. I'm not going to do exactly that. I'm still going to go for the job. They take everything that I have to teach them, and they learn from it and apply that, great. If not, not really sweat off my back.
And you could even make the case that that's a better form of mentorship. You know, he's not pushing his ideas on others. These are the result of, like, if a young player wants to find out and learn more and they're open-minded enough to it, Joe has answers for you. You know, it's not being forced upon these guys.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to look at it. We'll probably dive a little bit deeper into this as the show goes on. But let's, coming up here in 5 minutes, get to what everybody loves at 9 o'clock, where you know exactly what time it is. We'll do it with Get a Grip right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.